Hello and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King, a chapter by chapter discussion of Journey to the West. As always, I'm Quiva and I'm joined by my friend MJ.
Hello!
So we're into chapter 18 now, and as usual, there's going to be a few warnings. So this chapter features bridenapping and, you know, spousal imprisonment and abuse. So
yay! But no animal death this time.
No one dies. Amazing. Okay. Nothing dies in this chapter.
Dies. Nobody
that,
dies.
That I can promise you. Just this once, everybody lives.
Okay. Yay. Shit about the spousal abuse, but let's keep on keep that. This is a pattern in this book. There are a lot of women who get abducted.
Yeah, there's not going to be many, if any, like positive portrayals of women, unless you count Guan Yin. I guess she's like, I think we're judging her morally, but the book is the narrative isn't.
No, and she is at the very least interesting and one scary motherfucker. although I did like the depiction of the woman who was just like pissed off at the wallpaper.
Yeah,
you know,
insulting
the spirit there.
Insulting the interior design of the Imperial Palace is
pretty
good.
And stepping
up
for yourself, because everyone's there kind of gaslighting her, and she's like, "No, bitch, I am not crazy. I know exactly what's been going on with me. You need to shut up and listen. And by the way, get some taste, because this." Ugh. Yeah, I love that woman. I hope she's doing well.
So, at the end of Chapter 17, Guan Yin helped Sun Wukong defeat the Black Wind King and then recruited him as a guard. So, Wukong, left alone at the Black Wind Cave, decides to burn it down for good measure, turning it into the Red Wind Cave. That joke is from the book. I didn't write that joke. I want to be clear.
Just so everyone knows, he likes burning things down, does Wukong?
He does. He loves a good cave burning.
Yeah, or good anything burning. Really.
So, Pilgrim Sun and Tripitaka spend one more night in the burnt down monastery before heading off in the morning. And after a week on the road, they come to a village, and Wukong just grabs a random passerby and asks him about the place. The man doesn't want to answer, and he tries to pull himself away, but that just makes Wukong more abstinent. He refuses to let go at all until the man talks, and the man tries to pull away, but he can't budge Wukong a single inch.
So you mean obstinate?
Yes. I'm not going to bother re-recording that paragraph this time. I usually do when I fuck up, but I'll just leave that one in.
I feel like, well, we haven't gotten any information on whether Wukong fucks, but I don't think in any other sense of the word, abstinent is really a word you can apply to.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's...
Also, wow. Does he just get... Is it me, or does he get more angry every time the... does he take a level in pissed off every time the headband is used?
He does seem to get very angry and then tries to play it off as kind of joking or messing a lot.
Yeah.
Such as in this, like, Tripitaka tells him to let the man go and ask someone else, but Wukong says, "Oh, there's no fun in doing that," and insists on holding on to this man until he starts talking.
Great.
Yeah. So the man does.
That's cool and normal.
Where's the fun otherwise, MJ? Where's the fun?
Yay.
So the man does relent, and he explains they're in the kingdom of Choco. And everyone calls this village the Mr. Gao village because most of the families here are named Gao.
Okay.
So this particular Gao happens to be named Gao Kai, and he's been sent out to look for an exorcist, of all things. So he goes on to explain 3 years ago, old Mr. Gao, who is... I'm not exactly sure of the relation. He's part of old Mr. Gao's family, but he's not his son.
some species of cousin.
Mr. Gao's youngest daughter was taken by a monster to be his wife, apparently. And the monster is keeping her locked up in like a small building behind the Gao house, and no one has seen her in months. Yeah, the family has hired a few people already to try and drive the monster out, but they were useless. They couldn't do anything. So, always up for a fight, Wukong immediately volunteers for the job, and he and Tripitaka go to meet old Mr. Gao. Sun Wukong displays his normal tact and politeness by, rather than waiting to be seated, immediately just grabbing two random chairs from the house and sitting himself and Tripitaka down, and demands that Gao tell him about the monster and starting from the beginning.
Okay.
There's a little bit more to it than Gao Kai's quick summary.
Okay.
So for a long time, Old Man Gao's only real problem, as he saw it, was he had no sons. He has three daughters. And their names are Fragrant Orchid, Jade Orchid, and Green Orchid.
Guy likes orchids.
Yeah. So Fragrant and Jade are married. They had marriages arranged with other families in the village. But Gao was hoping to arrange a marriage for Green with a man who was willing to become part of his household and take his wife's name and take care of Gao in his old age, like as if he was his father. The name thing is kind of funny, considering apparently everyone in the village is named Gao. So Fragrant and Jade's kids presumably are already named Gao, but I guess it's important to him that the family name is preserved through like him and his line, and not not just the technicality of happening to have grandchildren with the same name. But
I mean, both you and I grew up in small Irish villages.
Yeah.
So like, you know, everyone being named fucking Aylward or Fitzgerald or whatever, that's like, okay, yeah.
Our nearest neighbors, the family just up the road, has the same surname as us, and they're of no relation.
Yeah, it's like, and everyone in Waterford is fucking Walsh or Power, and half of them aren't related to each other anyway, but, you know.
But about 3 years ago, a passably good-looking man, and that is the phrase the book uses to describe him.
Like, he's all right.
Yeah, he's all right.
it's not hard on the eyes. He's okay.
So a decent-looking guy called Zhu showed up. And Zhu didn't have any family connections of his own, so he was happy to take up Gao's offering and take up the Gao name. Things were pretty good at first. He was a really hard worker on the farm. He started early and ended late every day. He even ploughed the fields himself without using an animal, which is kind of ridiculous.
Okay, yeah, that just seems inefficient. And if you're that hard a worker, if you just use an animal, you could do more things. You know, you can just do more with your day.
Yeah.
Also, it sounds like the Gaos are pretty well set up, and Mr. Gao is mostly just kind of looking for someone to keep the kids happy, which is actually quite sweet. You know, if he's working their land.
He wants kind of a young man in the house to kind of look after him and look after the estate and the family and everything.
Okay, true, yeah.
But again, I don't know, like, then who the hell is Gao Kai? Like, he's not relevant. He doesn't matter for the rest of the story. It's just, I'm just hung up on this detail.
He's a random cousin who lives down the road.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, he's married to your one. Your man with the head.
Your man with the big head on him.
The man with the big head on him. Yeah, he's our Seamus's boy.
Yeah.
And you know Seamus, he's Mary's grandson. And I can't even pretend to go into a detailed Irish family history right now. I'm too tired.
This is why I had you on. This was your job.
I know. I'm sorry.
Fake culture genealogy was like your main point on your CV.
I know. But it also said I could do a French accent, and I can't do that either. I am proficient in Excel, though.
After a while, things with Zhu started to change. And specifically, he started to change. And specifically, he started to turn into a giant pig.
Right. Okay. It feels like, yeah, that's something you'd notice, all right.
So his ears started to get bigger, and his nose grew out into a huge snout, and he started growing big, thick bristles out the back of his head. And he started eating them out of house and home. He'd eat like 5 buckets of rice in a meal and 100 biscuits.
Jesus. Okay.
The only saving grace keeping them from going completely bankrupt was that he was a vegetarian.
At least there's that. Pigs aren't. Just saying. But
Yeah, true.
they'll eat anything.
But now he doesn't work anymore. He flies away on the wind and causes up huge storms, knocks over stones and dirt everywhere, and disturbs the whole house and the neighbors as well. And for the last half a year, he's had Green Orchid locked up in the building out back, and no one has seen her.
Jesus. And is this something, do you think this is like, was he a pig all along, or is he just, been stricken by pig man disease?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much I should explain.
Okay, yeah, spoilers, 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 we'll go.
So Monkey promises to catch the pig and make him sign an annulment. And Gao says there's no need for that, just kill
Pork belly for dinner.
And he asks Wukong if he needs a weapon or anything else. Monkey just All he asks is to get some old folks around to keep Tripitaka company while he deals with it, and he has everything he needs.
Just keep the monk out of the way.
Yeah.
Just keep him quiet.
I'm really curious about the fact that he specifies like getting old people specifically to come around to talk to Tripitaka.
Maybe Tripitaka likes old people.
Yeah, I
He's been around some old monks, and I can see old monks making a fuss of the baby monk.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to take it. I think it might be like a thing of respect that, speak with the elders or whatever. I'm not sure, but like
Might be.
Tripitaka isn't old. He's like 30 or so.
I'd like to imagine though, because he washes up in this monastery when how old is he? Like
A
a couple of
day.
days old?
Yeah, like
A
a
day
day
old.
old.
Yeah, and I like to imagine that, like, you don't get a lot of babies in a monastery, and the old folks were just besotted with this little baby monk,
Maybe.
and it was just kind of like they just wanted to spoil him and take care of him a little bit, and maybe Tripitaka is then like back in a happy, safe place and doesn't need to know about the butchery. He's just reliving his childhood, being fussed over by old people.
Yeah. So anyway,
He's happy.
Gao leads Wukong to the building around back. It's locked, and Wukong asks for the key, and Gao says, "If I had a key, I wouldn't need you."
Fair.
Wukong claims that that was just a joke, and he smashes the door open instead. And Green Orchid's inside, and she looks like someone who's been locked up in a shed for months.
Oh no.
She's pale, she's filthy, and she's lost a lot of weight.
Oh no.
Yeah, she runs forward to grab her father, and she starts crying. So Wukong asks her where Zhu is, but she doesn't know. Ever since he learned that Gao is planning to have him driven off, he leaves early every morning and he only returns after dark, and she doesn't have a clue where he goes. So Wukong sends Gao and Green away, and he shapeshifts into Green Orchid's appearance, and he waits for Zhu to return in the house. That night, Zhu arrives in a violent gust of wind, and he looks exactly like he was described, a huge upright pig. He's dressed in a blue-green cotton shirt, and he has a spotted handkerchief tied around his head.
Okay, well, he is a stylish pig.
So Zhu comes in, he demands a kiss from his wife, and he leans in, and Monkey grabs him by the snout and throws him to the floor. Zhu doesn't take this that badly. He just asks why she's upset with him.
Because you locked me in a shed. Is this like a regular occurrence? Is it like, does this little like, well, we don't get a physical description of Green, I guess, but does this like, is he just like, hoo-hoo, yes, I'm gonna go home and be thrown around by my petite wife. Actually, like maybe he's into that, and because he can like fly on the wind, he's just like, yeah, I'm gonna like put a little bit of wind behind me so I can just be pushed around by her, and just like, oh, can't wait.
I won't judge. I mean, I'll judge him for having her locked up for 6 months.
Oh, yes, for the spousal abuse, very, very much. The kinks, no.
Wukong says, I'm not upset. I just don't feel very well today. And he tells Zhu to go to bed. And Wukong lets Zhu climb into bed while he gets up and pretends to take a shit at the chamber pot.
Okay, I love that little detail.
Yeah, it's an important detail.
Okay.
Once Zhu is in bed, Wukong lets out a big sigh and he says, I'm very unlucky. And Zhu says back, he defends himself. He says, what do you mean? Maybe I eat a lot, but look at all the work I've done. Sweeping the grounds, draining the ditches, hauling bricks, carrying tiles, building walls, pounding mortar, ploughing the fields, raking the earth, and planting
locking
seeds.
Locking me in a shed! I feel like there is a big gap there!
I took care of your entire estate. You've brocaded clothes and gold jewelry and fresh fruit and vegetables all year round. What are you so dissatisfied with?
Locked in a shed!
You're going to be very frustrated as this goes on, because they really don't acknowledge that as much as they should.
It's kind of a big deal! I would go as far to say it's a deal breaker, to be quite honest.
It's really weird, because they do... You know, they do have this big description of how like awful and distraught she looks, and then she starts crying as soon as she's let out, and then she was just calling and is like, what's wrong? And Wukong is like, no,
locked me in a shed!
It's fine, I'm just feeling a little sick, you're fine. So Wukong says back, today my parents gave me a severe scolding over the partition wall. They said, as a son-in-law, you've no manners, and you're so ugly, you're unpresentable. We don't even know your family or your true name. You've ruined the family reputation. He doesn't mention...
Locked me! He doesn't mention the shed at all.
No,
okay. I'm like, how is there a little bit of like an unreliable narration thing? No, because is she distraught at being taken out of the shed, perhaps? I'm trying to look at it from the other side here, because like...
No, I'm pretty sure she was pretty unhappy with the pig.
Oh, well, yeah. But it kind of feels like he... Okay, yeah, let's just... Yeah. I'll be quiet. I just feel like it should be acknowledged at some point.
The pig responds, hey, I might not be the best looking, but I can fix that if they insist. But I discussed the matter of my family fully when we were married. Why is he bringing it up again now? I'm from the Cloudy Paps Cave of Fooling Mountain. My name is Zhu, a hog from my appearance, and my official name is Gang Lai, which means stiff bristles. So his name is Stiff Bristles Hog. So... Wukong thinks to himself that this monster is actually pretty honest. He's gotten a full account for him. He didn't even have to torture him a little bit.
Is he disappointed?
He might be, to be honest.
Yeah, he's got a lot of rage these days, as Wukong. A lot of rage.
So, Wukong is still playing along with it, and he tells Zhu Ganglai, my parents are trying to get an exorcist to arrest you. Zhu just tells him, go to sleep, don't mind that. I know 36 transformations and have a 9-pronged muckrake to defend myself. I'm not afraid of any priests. Even if your dad was able to get the monster-routing patriarch himself down from heaven, it wouldn't matter. He's an old friend of mine anyway.
Oh. Friends in high places.
But they said they were going to invite someone named Sun. They called him the, Great Sage, equal to heaven.
Does he say, oh, the Ban Horse Plague?
He says, I'm leaving. He immediately starts pulling on his clothes and makes for the door.
Fuck that. That kid's crazy. Fuck that. Fuck staying with that psycho bastard. I'm gone. I'm done.
This is the correct reaction.
Okay, I think the correct reaction would be, oh, the Bad Horse Plague, but this is better. This is. Yep, okay. Fuck that. I'm out. Guy's a psychopath.
Bye, we're getting divorced. So as he's trying to run out the door, Wukong grabs him by the shirt and then wipes his hand across his own face, revealing his true form.
And the pig shits himself, basically.
The Zhu tears his own shirt to get out of Wukong's grasp, and turns into wind to fly away. And Wukong chases after him and strikes at the wind with his rod, but Zhu breaks himself into beams of flaming light and flies off back to the Fuling Mountain, while Wukong follows him, shouting that he'll never be able to escape him.
It was like he couldn't just let him go.
Oh, but where's the fun in that?
True,
It's
true. Everybody's.
almost foreshadowing at the start of the chapter, actually.
Oh, okay.
No, just in like the guy he wouldn't let go of.
Yeah. He's got a problem letting things go. Has Wukong.
Zhu realizes the trick of it and is just willing to tear his own clothes to get away. And that is actually the end of the chapter.
Okay. Well, that was a slightly shorter one. Well, it's nice that Wukong has something to do. He's an outlet for the terrifying amount of rage. A lot of rage.
So I have one thing to note, which is we're actually bringing up Sabote again.
Oh wow. Okay.
Is another time where I didn't expect to bring him up again, but here he is actually. He's not mentioned, but the thing
It's
is
part of his whole magic shtick. You kind of forget about where he's gonna be.
Well, it's just when Zhu mentions knowing 36 transformations. So when Sabaody was teaching Sun Wukong, he offered to either teach him the 36 transformations of the Heavenly Ladle or the 27 transformations of the Earthly Multitude. And Wukong chose the 70, or I said 27, the 72 transformations of the Earthly Multitude. And Wukong chose the 72 because he reckoned that was a larger number. Which is reasonable logic, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know much about either.
But Zhu knows the 36.
Ah, interesting.
And also, just as a note, the Heavenly Ladle as a name is like the it's like the Chinese name for the plow, the constellation.
Ah, okay. I was just thinking of those little ladles that look like Nessie. They bring me a lot of joy.
Heavenly, heavenly.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far, but they make me happy.
For the Americans, by the plow, I mean Ursa Major.
Big Dipper,
Big
is
Dipper.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is a Dipper? Why?
I might be wrong about this, but I think it actually also just means a plow.
I just think of chicken dippers. Do you remember those Birds Eye ads with the really irritating jingle? Like in the late 90s, dip, 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 dippers? Yeah. Chicken dippers.
Oh, you're making me hungry.
Yeah, me too.
I've been famished the last few days. I've just been eating so much. I have no idea why.
Actually the same. Maybe we're storing up food come winter.
I've decided to become a squirrel, so I'm gonna hibernate.
Hibernation is good. I'm all for hibernation. Just wake me up in March. Maybe. I'll see what the frost is doing. Just gonna make a little cave and just have lots of protein sources, I guess, and
Here, so
just get in.
let's while we're recording a podcast, let's drag up the never-ending arguments about definitions of things.
Oh, yay.
So yeah, we're coming into winter because winter starts on the 1st of November, and I will fight people on this.
Okay. Cool,
And
cool.
I know most of the people listening to this are wondering what the fuck I'm talking about. I think that's a particularly Irish thing of like. of the
Maybe.
season definitions being winter is November, December, and January, because it's every other country they base it on like the actual weather, and we just base it on which months have the longest days.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really have seasons. We've got damp and not damp. We don't have like distinct seasons. It's just
Oh no, we do. I'm feeling it now. It's getting so much fucking cold in
Oh
this
yeah.
shitty apartment.
True. Well, it's mostly down to climate change. We didn't have seasons when I was a kid. These are newfangled seasons. Yeah, no, I kind of feel like November is just its own thing. It's neither autumn nor winter. It's just the. It's just like the. It's its own separate season that's just called ugh.
If you celebrate Halloween, then you have to then no you have to take November as winter, because Halloween is the start of winter. That's what it's about. So there,
Yeah.
that's what I'm
I don't know.
this is my
I
this
feel
is my
like.
unreasonable horseshit that I'm insisting is true.
I feel like Halloween is the end of autumn. And then you have the weird, disgusting, damp, cold, what is it, really cold enough to have the heating on at night. Days are getting shorter, seasonal affective disorder, strange, bizarre, liminal space of November. And then there's winter.
Yeah. Oh, it's already cold enough for me to be having problems with my CPAP machine,
Oh no.
because
Don't you need that to breathe?
I need it to breathe while I sleep.
Yeah, that seems important.
It's for treating sleep apnea. So I have a machine that pumps air in, like increases the air pressure for while I'm breathing while I sleep, basically. It has a humidifier in it to like stop it from just like completely drying out your throat, which is unpleasant if you don't use the dehumidifier. But it's so cold that the actual like the water from the dehumidifier is condensing in the pipe and in the mask.
Oh no. Oh God, so you could drown on your own breath?
I don't think it'd be enough to drown me, but
You'd be surprised how little water it takes to drown a human being.
it interferes with the valve that controls the airflow in the mask, which is an issue.
Yeah, you should have the heating on at night.
It's not going to make it difficult to breathe. It just wakes me up, which is an annoying problem to have in the machine that's designed to stop me from constantly waking up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, you need turn the heating on at night.
Oh,
Definitely.
you don't understand how uninsulated my apartment is. It's basically impossible to keep warm. It might as well just be outside. It might as well be open air.
Speaking of pointless arguing over definitions, I will make a new show soon where I get people to do exactly that.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot. I wasn't attached. That was I wasn't trying to build you a segue. I forgot about that.
No, but it works pretty well. The show is called Molehills to Die On. And it is where I get a bunch of comedians to argue about stupid shit, A, for my own amusement, and B, because we've all got a lot of pent-up rage bullshit that we should probably release on, arguing about whether an automatic door is automatic if you have to press a button to open it. Yeah, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be fun. Follow the social media deets in the show notes below for a release date. I don't have one yet, but it's gonna be fun.
No, it won't. No, that's sorry. I was trying to just do a like pointless contrarian for a bit for the thing, but actually that's just mean. Sorry.
It is just mean.
It's
I
gonna
worked
be
really hard on it.
It's gonna be very fun.
I work really
That's
hard on the graphics. It's gotta.
a fact that won't be disputed.
Also, name the mole. Is it, I don't have a name for our mole yet. There's mole on the graphics. He doesn't have a name. I was thinking about Chester, but he doesn't look like a Chester, so help me name the mole.
I was about to just shout out Monty, and then I realized I think that's like an old Commodore 64 game character.
Monty the Mole? Interesting. We will see. I will look that up.
Oh, you should like name it like as a chemistry pun.
Why?
Because a mole is a unit used in chemistry.
Ah.
It's actually it's a weird unit because it's not like a measurement of any particular physical quantity. It's just a specific number that's used to measure like amounts of particles. It's I can't remember. I don't know it exactly off the top of my head, but it's 6 point something by 10 to the power of 23.
Cool.
And it's just like it's like the whole point of it is that like a mole of hydrogen is about a gram, etc.
Right. I will not be naming my mole that. But thank you for your input.
What? I've tried to. I'm just. I'm sorry. I have Wikipedia up now. I've just tried to remember. It's okay. So the name mole is apparently just short for molecule. And it was named by a German chemist named Wilhelm Ostwald. So you could name the mole Wilhelm.
Wilhelm the Mole. Yep, because that's a great joke. It's all the best jokes you have to explain using citations.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a fact.
Bye.
Yay, awkward silence competition. I win an awkward silence.
Okay,
Oh,
thank you
it's
for
fun.
listening. Bye bye, bye bye, bye bye, podcast.